I was wondering why that slide was just plain. I guess I just left a plain slide in here. Thank you, Brother Phil. As you can see, God's holy word is revealed to us through the words of Jesus, the understanding about a good and a faithful servant. I'd like for us to look at passages of God's holy word this morning about being a good and a faithful servant. I'd ask for us to challenge ourselves and our hearts to allow God's word to work on our hearts this morning. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good and a faithful servant. If you set goals in your life, yeah, some of us want married and have kids. Some of us already done that. Have grandkids, spend time with people. We got bucket lists in our life. Things we enjoy doing. Fishing, hunting, golfing, sewing, baking. The list goes on, dancing. Things go on and on. Our lists go on and on and on and on. Things we've been able to do with this great life God's blessed us with. But is it in your bucket list to be a good and faithful servant? You already obtained that. That's good. But to keep on being a good and a faithful servant, to know that you have that arm of Jesus around you when you're walking in your daily walk, when you make your decisions in your life, when you're trying to understand what's going on in this world, when you're stressed out. Looking at the passage that's in our scripture this morning, Jesus mentions a good and faithful servant and enter into the joy of your Lord. Again, he mentions it good. He mentions it twice in the story. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. He also mentions what happens when somebody doesn't use their talents or take care of what God's blessed them with. What does Jesus call them? Wicked and lazy servant. I just ask from a concept of our society today, what's a good and a faithful servant in our society, and does it align with God's holy word? And I ask us just real quick this morning to take a look at this passage and ask ourselves, is everybody the same in this story that Jesus told? Does everybody have the same capabilities? Does everybody have the same amount of talents? So what is the common denominator with all the people? What's the same expectation? That you're a good and faithful servant. Jesus even says in this story, different people are going to have different amounts of stuff. And those people that don't be responsible and a good and faithful servant are not fit to be part. The world wants you to believe everybody's going to heaven. Okay? Society wants you to believe as long as you're good, everybody's going to heaven. God's a good and a loving God. But they stop when it says he's a just God. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. They just want to take what? Just enough to make them feel like they're doing the right thing. And it makes them become God. And I plead with us not to think we become God in our lives. And that's what happens with people, and that's what happened with the Jews. They thought they were better than everybody else. They thought they knew better than everybody else, but their hearts were not right with God. And that's why I plead with us this morning to make sure our hearts are right with the Word of God and let His power and be servants of Him. Because the servant of Christ turns around and recognizes who he is and gives him the honor and glory that they deserve, the God and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Satan has changed and tempted a lot of people's hearts, folks, to think that everybody goes to heaven. Doesn't matter what I do, okay? And there is no reward for living right and doing right. And that's not true. That's not the truth. From the beginning of time, God has always said, this is what you should do. 6,000 plus years ago, don't touch the fruit or the tree of knowledge, which has fruit. And guess what? That's what happens today. We have the tree of knowledge, and everybody wants to be God. What do people that want to be God and their own God do? Let me tell you what's right and wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to share God's word with people. We're going to look at what a good servant does in Timothy, our last passage this morning. There's a way to do it. And if you look at the end of being a servant of God, it's a servant that is loving and is kind and is forgiving, is godly, is righteous, is happy, isn't at peace, and is full of joy. And if those things are missing, I plead with you to examine your heart and look towards Jesus and God Almighty. Because those are the things he's promised us. His word says that. This is what I brought to the earth. And people continue. Guess what? Eve got it wrong. Right? Cain slew Abel. He got it wrong. Right? We can go down through the list, continue on and on and on. They got it wrong, they got it wrong, they got it wrong. The Pharisees and Sadducees got it wrong. The Apostle Paul had it wrong. Brother Lucas and I were talking about it last night. But yet he made a change. His heart was touched by Jesus. The Word of God began to work in his life. He began to be a servant of the Most High God. A good and faithful servant. Jesus said in Matthew 23, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ. And you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. To me, this is one of the most precious passages you can turn to. I shouldn't say most, because there's hundreds of precious and most favorite passages in God's Word. This is one passage that's very hard for us. But guess what's tied to this passage? He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. A good and faithful servant. Recognizes that the teacher is Jesus. Not the PhD, not the grandpa, not the grandma. Jesus. First. This is a tough one. Don't call anybody on earth your father.
After I became a Christian, I became calling my dad, my dad. I quit calling him my father because of this passage. You do what you want. I'm just telling you what I do. My father's in heaven.
I love my dad. Appreciate my dad, what he did for me, how he took care of me. The things good things. Actually, I learned some bad things from him too. And I appreciate that because I learned how to not do some things. Teacher. We do that all the time. Who's teaching class today? Jesus is teaching class today. God's holy word is teaching class today. And the minute we think me or you or anybody else is teaching, well, I don't have to listen to that. Your servitude attitude, well, I don't have to listen to that. Who are you? You don't have a degree. You didn't go to theology. You don't have a piece of paper. And even if you tell me the truth, no. Jesus says, look at this stuff. Don't do it. And yet we do it as Christians. But if you want to be a good and faithful servant, it's Jesus is the Lord and Savior. Jesus is the teacher. God is our Heavenly Father. All authority. And you wonder why people aren't here that have left? It's because somebody else is their teacher. Somebody else is their father. And they have not become a good and faithful servant. They are wicked and lazy. That's the truth. It hurts, folks. That's the truth. We still love them. We still forgive them. We are patient and kind, just like Jesus was when he's here. Because we are good and faithful servants. But the truth is, the road is narrow. Few are those that find it. That's why it's so precious. You are all brethren. Right? There's a lot in this passage. You are all brethren. When I sit here and I see people partaking these emblems and saying, I believe. I believe. I believe. I don't know about you, but that touches my heart. It's powerful. Every Sunday morning. And if I take it for granted, Lord forgive me, because I shouldn't. We should never take partaking of the Lord's Supper. And seeing brethren do it. It's an honor and it's very humbling to be part, to be a servant in the kingdom of heaven. Mark chapter 9, it is written, and then he came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. I don't know at what point in time Jesus' ministry, he sat down and talked to the disciples like that. I have no idea. But they were the best of the best. And they still are good ones themselves. Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, that's not what it's all about. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven is what people are going to serve. Don't get me wrong. We shouldn't. We already saw what Jesus said about the talents. You're supposed to use everything God's given you to be blessed. To the best of your ability. But it's your heart as you're doing it to recognize you're not doing it to be the greatest. You're doing it as a servant of the Most High God. It's an attitude
of humility and of love and of grace and peace, just like Jesus did.
And he used children. He took time out to use children to say how important they are and how our attitude should be with one another. And take time out for children. How many of us are too busy? It's self-revealing for me. I got a list of things to do. My wife has a list of things for me to do. I don't think my kids want me to do much anymore. They got their own to-do list and things, but I got five grandchildren, but one's just, we don't know what he's going to look like yet. I'm just, am I taking time to wrap my arms around him and thank God for him, to do something special with him? And if you don't have children or grandchildren, do your nieces and nephews, do your neighbor's kids, do something. Take time to be at peace. To be thankful to be a servant of the Most High God.
If you desire to be first, you'll be last. Doesn't mean to be a loser. It means to be humble. It means to recognize doing things for other people and for other things. There's great reward and helping other people. Mark chapter 10, it is written, "And when the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many.'" One of the hardest things in my life that I have about Jesus is giving up my all. And that's giving up all my time. Time's precious. God's blessed us with a lot of things. Do you think Jesus wasted any time? I'm just asking that. He was here 33 years. Maybe that's why he gives us twice as long. Okay? Because we waste so much and he's got stuff for us to do. I don't know. But if Jesus took time to relax. Jesus took time to sleep. Jesus went to a wedding. Jesus went to people's homes and sat down and ate. So it wasn't like he was a busybody and ate fast food all the time and just was never on nonstop. That's how I picture Jesus. But you look at what we have recorded of him. He's always going about doing good. And if for his 3 years or his 33 years that he was here on earth, what he did couldn't be written and even held in a whole book. We just have what we need to know by God here. Our society thinks servitude is a failure. Being a servant, being a slave, okay? Now you know where the lesson came from last week. Bondservants. There's a contradiction between what the world wants people to think and what God's truth is. I'm not saying come to the spiritual world. The problem is we want to intertangle our spiritual and our physical together. Jesus said, not of this world. The kingdom's not of this world. We're going to read another passage here in a minute. We need to be able to make that difference. A servant of the Most High God has to think in spiritual terms first. That'll help him see clearly through the Word of God. You need to pray about things first. Luke chapter 16, Jesus says these words. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, and when you fall, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit you to your trust the true riches? And if you've, not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one or love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Our society struggles with this deeply, because they want to have salvation without God. They want to have right and wrong morally without God. It is written, it is not within man's steps to direct his own path. We need God. We need to be servants of the Most High God. We need His holy word to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And the world wants to walk and say, if I'm a good person, I'm living like God wants me to live. I don't need this moral compass. We'll have a group of people decide whether it's the majority of 60, 70, 80, 90, 95%, or maybe even a minority, 5 or 10% or 2% or 1% will make up everything and make the laws of the land. Not so in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, no man can serve two masters. And we need to distinguish between the spiritual and the physical kingdoms that we're in. And recognize there's gray areas in the kingdom of heaven. And you can choose to walk in those gray areas, or you can choose to stay away from them. Because there's many areas that are black and white. You can choose the gray areas to make an excuse for sin and not being a servant of God. Or you can say, those are gray areas. I'm not going to go inside those gray areas. I'm going to stay what's in black and white. I'm not going to tempt the Lord your God. The Lord our God. The Lord my God. Or else you would be loyal to one and despise the other. You wonder why people despise Christians? Because they're serving a different master. How in the world can somebody despise Jesus? Who opened the kingdom of heaven for us? Who offers us eternal life? Who showed us that He is the way, the truth, and the life? Showed us how to love one another and forgive one another. And treat one another without bias, without prejudice, without hate. How to live without hate. But I despise him. He was despised and he was rejected. And I plead with us not to become part of this humanistic world. And stop recognizing how great he is. And stop being a good and faithful servant. Satan likes to whittle away one at a time. One at a time. So when I see somebody I haven't seen in a while come back into worship, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We take it for granted because we do it out of habit a lot of times, folks. Walking through that door on Sunday morning. It's a powerful statement. And it's a great way to continue to be a good and faithful steward. Good and faithful servant. In John, it is written, John 18, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered to him, "Are you speaking about for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priest have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And then he had said this. When he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." We don't know whether Jesus had a chance to tell Pilate about truth or not, do we? According to this passage. Brothers and sisters and friends, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. I plead with us, keep our hearts open to become good and faithful students. Good and faithful servants. When I see somebody saying something hateful or doing something hateful, boy, oh boy, oh boy, know where your heart's at. When I do something hateful and mean, boy, oh boy, oh boy, I know where my heart's at. God, I don't want to say that. Forgive me. Jesus, I don't want to be like you. I know you would have said that. When we start thinking things we ought not, get rid of.